Hello, everyone. It is take 234, aka volume 2, aka take 2. I'm trying to think of, you can't really do a separate scene 1 beta of the Fun Movie Club. We are all here, minus Nick Frazier, who apparently is playing Fortnite right now. And does not want to come.
Allegedly, badmouth him.
Allegedly, no, I'm
early,
just kidding.
Earlier, not now.
according to a no context source,
anonymous
text.
Source.
Nick, we miss you. We know that if you could be here, you would. I do know that for a fact. If we could, but you know, schedules are crazy. I didn't coordinate this one as well as maybe we could have, but we will for the future. I just. Got a lot of cool things. Got a lot of big things coming up for everyone. So I'm excited to announce them. We've got Tim Lee and Spencer Davis here on the pod. How are we feeling before we get into what we've been up to?
I'm good. I went disc golfing earlier and I took my child with me. And it was only like half of a nightmare. It was really good.
Dude, half a nightmare is solid.
Yeah, that sounds like 9 out of 10.
Yeah, definitely. We had an extra set of hands that wasn't disc golfing. That was a must.
That helps.
What was their handicap? What's their handicap? What's Jones's disc golf handicap?
Well, he walks up to the basket and puts a disc in it and gets a hole in one every time.
Nice. So. Are you thinking of putting him into any amateur leagues?
Only the ones where they let them walk straight up to the basket, if those exist.
It could be a real moneymaker.
I was playing with my brother-in-law, and he's actually won amateur tournaments.
Wow.
Yeah. I beat him today because this course is 9 holes, and it is incredibly short. So,
you don't I love have to the announcers for disc golf. As a little side note for all the sweets, us three, we were all roommates freshman year, and I love that every single disc golf announcer sounds like they were just one of our roommates when they're excited for something. Just, oh my gosh, what a shot! You know, just the absolute, like, no sports, and just are a couple of dudes that volunteered to do the live broadcast for this sport.
Dude, yeah. One of my weirdest little, like, things I love is watching like StarCraft competition. I know nothing about how it works, but listening to the commentators just lose it the entire time. I don't know what they're talking about at all, but it's very fun to listen to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tim, you big fan of the announcers on disc golf? Just very curious.
I've watched one tournament.
Okay.
And it was a tournament where this guy just like straight up choked and the announcers were in disbelief. Like he missed like a putt that I would never make in my life. And they're like, oh my gosh, he missed it. He missed it.
I got to watch these. I got to watch these a little more. So I have some big news, big news. Okay. We watched the basically final cut of Right Club, my student's feature film that they've been working on all year. It's going to clock in at roughly 50 minutes. We're looking around 50, maybe a little bit more. I'm not going to give my thoughts, but here's what we've got. Thursday, May 18th at the District Megaplex is a cast and crew screening. So they've all been invited. We're going to make sure that they're all there, get everyone excited. It's going to be very, very fun. Okay. Megaplex has agreed to show it in theaters May 19th through the 25th. 3 screenings a day. Show up to the big screen. They're doing a 50-50 ticket split. So 50% of ticket sales will go to the Copper Hills TV and film and broadcasting program. So it's very cool. I mean, even if no one goes and sees it, they have it playing at a movie theater. A movie that I executive produced and produced will be at a movie theater. And a movie that they put so much time and effort into making is going in there. I can't believe it. We did it. They did it. They filmed it. They've got it all edited. They've done the Foley. They've done all the ADR and all the post-production stuff. And it's ready. It's ready for people. Just really cannot wait. Cannot wait for people to see it. Excited to see what y'all think when you get a chance to see it. Once we do, we are only going to switch to doing one screening at Copper Hills because we're kind of like, why are we going to do this twice? Let's just do it once. So we're just going to do it October 24th or May 24th. It's a Wednesday. And then once it's all done in its theatrical run, we're going to throw it onto YouTube. It'll be like $5 to watch it. Pay to watch it. Pay to support these kids. Don't, you know, if you're going to pirate it, just you don't got $5, ask me. I will Venmo you. I will give you the $5.37 because it's probably going to give you tax to watch their film. Okay? So, fellas.
That's really cool that it's in theater.
Huh?
That's really cool that it's in a theater. It's in... Shout out Larry H. Miller for being a bro.
Yeah. Big rest in peace. Big rest in paradise, I'll say. Thank you for letting us play this in your beloved, like, holy halls of a theater. I love those. We love the Megaplex. Megaplex, we can do it. Let's do something. Let's do a sponsorship. I freaking love the Megaplex, man. One day. It's a big dream. Trying to think. I feel like there was something else. Oh, they want to, on Friday night, do, like, a premiere screening where they go watch it with some people, and they're going to pull up with a red carpet and a limo and go watch it with people.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
love it.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I didn't really understand. They're like, we want to do a premiere the night of. And I'm like, that's not really how a premiere works. You generally see it before everyone sees it. But they really want to do that. So they're going to go do that. So whatever day it is, I don't know. They're going to wear tuxedos, and some of them are like, we're just going to wear pajamas, and it'll be a lot of fun. I'm very excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So hope to see y'all there for one of them, or I'll send you the link to watch it, whatever it ends up being. Yeah, and there will be shirts available and stickers to buy for Write Club the night of the 24th, at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're excited. You can, I'll put the link to buy tickets again on the website. It'll be writeclub.lud.com. That's how you can buy them. Okay. Spencer, what have we been up to? What have we been up to?
Yeah, one of the perks of being a teacher is the whole, like, summer, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited to see if it is as good as advertised.
But May, like, the month of May almost cancels it out. Oh, my gosh, dude. It's every day kids come in and like, can we not do anything today? It's like, we have 3 weeks of school left. What do you want to do? And then I know if we didn't do anything, they'd be like, I'm bored. Like, that's what it would be every day. So it's a tough time. I'm going to have kids watch a movie while they do a project next week as a reward. And I had only a few choices because I had to do DVDs. And mostly they wanted to Remember the Titans, which I don't have, but a kid offered to bring it. And then they didn't bring it. So I think we're going to watch like Empire Strikes Back.
Good. Better choice.
Watching the points. But yeah, I'm going to make all the classes watch it. And I'm thinking, like, I do this classroom point system for behavior. So I'm thinking the last place class, I'm going to, like, play it in Spanish. I think that's my plan.
You should play it in Japanese.
I'll have to see what the DVD has. I said I brought all my PG and G DVDs, but I totally lied because I didn't bring the prequels because I don't want to watch them.
Good. Oh, although if they pick Revenge of the Sith, that would actually be a cool one to watch.
False. But also it's PG-13. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's right.
Yeah. I also didn't bring Return of the Jedi just cause like I didn't want to deal with all the Tatooine stuff over and over.
Wow, that movie is, you know, having seen it for, you know, my 30th time, but seeing it on a big screen, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know what it was. If I'm just not with it, Man, maybe worse than I had remembered seeing in the big screen. Fun experience, but oh man, a tough movie to get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Didn't love it. Okay. Well, so what we're going to do for mine is I kind of like mix things up a little bit. We're going to watch Dune in one of my classes. And then some of them I was like, yo, I'm just going to bring in In the Mood for Love. We're going to throw it on. And they're like, we want to watch some different stuff. I'm like, all right, let's watch some different stuff. Or I might bring in Young Girls of Rochefort, something, you know, a little Jacques Demy, and, some educate criterion. Them a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my kids, I told him to watch Chungking Express, and he watched it, and it's like all he talks about now.
Okay.
And I was like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I told you to watch it. He's like, no, you did. And I was like, so he's a big a Wong head.
My experience talking about movies recently, I think I told you guys already, but I told them I loved The Last Jedi, and a kid told me to go to hell.
Cool.
So that's how my movie discussions usually go.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds about par for the course for a 13-year-old child.
Yep.
And Star Wars.
But here's the problem with the sequels, you guys: too much twirling.
Yeah, the sequels have too much twirling.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the sequels, not right. The prequel. The sequels have too much twirling.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, these kids that all saw the prequels when they were 5 years old, with a tablet, watching Bluey on the tablet at the same time, they know what has more twirling in it.
Picture in picture.
Get out of town, Tim. What have you been up to?
Not too much, just working. We're going to, most of the Fun Movie Club is going to Oklahoma for a wedding. We're all getting together.
Heck yeah.
We got a sweet Airbnb that has an indoor pool. It's going to be a party, dude.
What are, okay, please tell me what you had ran by with me. And if that's something you're actually going, if you are actually going to do that, I would contemplate buying a one night plane ticket to watch you go through that experience. Did we talk about it on the pod? I don't think we did.
Maybe we're talking about Tim watching something.
Yes. Speaking of Bo is Afraid, which we're reviewing today, an Ari Aster doubleheader.
No, that is not happening.
We're going for a wedding, and
we have limited time in Oklahoma, and I am not spending it watching Hereditary.
Even if that meant I come out to watch you watch them, which I probably wouldn't do. It's tempting, though. It really is tempting to make Tim watch Hereditary, then Midsommar back to back.
But it also means you would have to.
Yeah, but if I got to watch Tim do it, I'd watch Cannibal Holocaust again if that meant I got to watch it with Tim.
I got to watch Tim and his wife watch Get Out for the first time, and I'm still on a high from that.
That's my favorite movie to watch with people for their first time.
It's so good for that. Yeah, totally.
What was that experience like? I actually got to know. I got to know.
That was also the day I got addicted to Hot Cheetos.
Oh, that was an important day.
Spencer got me hooked on those.
Yeah. I don't actually remember it that well. I just remember it was a blast the entire way through. Tim gave every reaction you would hope for.
Tim, can you give us a brief vocal description of what it was like of you watching Get Out?
I think the best reaction that I had would be a curse word, but we don't say those on Sweet Film Talk.
That's true.
So I just dropped a classic. Oh,
that's a good one, though. When was it?
The great thing about Get Out is it's like, well, that could have been 10 different points of the movie.
I think it was. Spoiler alert. I think it was when you think he's still tied to that chair, but he's not.
Mm. Oh, I remember my first big moment.
It was when he took the friggin' buck head. That's what it was.
Oh, the antlers,
dude. Yeah.
I'll always remember how silent the theater went and how everyone leaned forward when he goes upstairs and everyone stops talking and just looks at him as he walks around. I've never, still to this day, never experienced. And we saw the last 30 minutes of Bo is Afraid, which has one moment that I think everyone's mouths were just dropped right, to the
but
floor.
The vibes are completely different, because in one you're like, man, this movie rocks, and the other one you're like, Ari Aster can go to hell.
Yeah, my mouth didn't drop to the floor. I think I was sitting up a little bit, and then I gave it one of these.
A nice eye back. Roll head shake.
Yeah, nice oh, yeah, eye roll dude. Head shake. Like, I've had enough of this.
Let's go into a little bit of movie news here as we segue from what we've been up to and everything that's going on. It's not so much a movie news as it is a trailer, because Yorgos Lanthimos has two movies coming out this year, and we got a trailer for one of them called Poor Things, which looks like Emma Stone Frankenstein with some of the worst / coolest looking visual effects you've seen in a movie. What are our thoughts on Yorgos Lanthimos here?
I've only seen The Lobster, which I liked.
Okay.
I only saw one. I've seen like a little bit of the trailer. I saw the first still where like Emma Stone standing in front of a window. The window is clearly a penis. So.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's not subtle at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think probably says a lot of what you need to know about the movie.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's, we've got Four Things and. So yeah, Tim, Yorgos Lanthimos, for everyone that you know, directed The Favorite, Killing of a Sacred Deer, The Lobster, amongst other
I've
films.
Seen
Those
the
are
Lobster.
Probably his.
I've seen The Lobster.
Oh, nice. Okay, so thoughts on Yorgos Lanthimos.
I mean, I didn't know anything. I didn't know this name until you just said it. And Spencer said, I've seen The Lobster. And I was like, oh, I've seen The Lobster too. And I liked it, so he must be a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
The Lobster was one of my earliest, quote-unquote weird movies I watched with Leah, and she was not happy.
Yeah. Which is weird, because that one's, like, not that weird.
Yeah, it is.
It's not
relatively for Yorgos, no, but in the grand scheme, it's pretty weird.
Okay. I guess I forget about it, because Killing of...
Do you not remember what they do every morning to everybody who's there?
I guess not.
We'll talk about it off the pod.
Oh, okay.
It's weird.
Okay, then yeah, I mean, it's been like 5 years since I've seen it, maybe longer. And I remember like not, I haven't, I think I like Killing of a Sacred Deer most, because, you know, I'm a horror guy and it's a weird off-putting movie. I thought The Favorite was kind of boring. I don't know. I didn't love The Favorite. And then The Lobster, I don't think it's boring. I thought it was interesting, but at the same time, I don't know. Not
the favorite
wild
is
on The Lobster.
Olivia Colman almost won an Oscar for, right?
She did win an Oscar.
She did win an Oscar.
That
okay.
was the Glenn Close just kind of giving like the little squinty eye smile at the camera of like, oh, supposed to win this one and didn't win it. So that's 8 in a row.
Supposed to win for like what? Hillbilly Elegy, which sucked.
No, it was The Wife.
Oh, totally different movie. Okay.
Yeah, totally different movie. Another one that no one saw. So that's probably what you got it confused with. Okay. So yeah, Poor Things looks like a very good trailer. Really cool trailer. I can't think of any trailers, anything that y'all have seen this week, any movie news that caught your eye?
I just watched Spider-Verse trailers. That's the only trailer I saw was the new Spider-Verse trailer.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that... I mean, I saw that there's, for some reason, a Meg 2, which...
Oh!
How that got greenlit, I'll never know. I don't know. I don't know a single soul who saw the Meg. Except for you, probably, Kimiko. That's probably
we reviewed it.
Yeah, you and TC, like... I don't know anyone outside of someone who has a movie podcast that saw The Meg.
of the last 5 years of any new release, if you were to ask me if I saw it, I could probably, like, 90% chance that, yeah, I saw it.
Well,
proudly.
Yeah.
And yeah, actually, the first 15 seconds of that trailer freaking rocks, too.
He even saw God's Not Dead 3 in the theater. So
I did. And
oh my god,
Die Hard. Well, technically he did.
Yeah, technically I only watched the first 15 minutes and then Titan started, which was yeah, awesome, but
still,
weird.
Still
but awesome.
One of the greatest like theater stories I have ever heard. That story.
The amount of booze, there was like six audible boos at once. All at once. I don't know. Cause like there was no, it was like 5 minutes into the, you know, we went to go see Titan and they started God's Not Dead 3 or God's Not Dead, We the People. I don't remember which one it is. Maybe it's 4. Fun as a side note, one of my good friends, I got him a crew. It's like, I think it's a cast and crew God's Not Dead t-shirt. From Grail. I found it was like $30 and I bought it for him.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And it was like 5 minutes in to when everyone realized, oh, it's God's Not Dead, We the People. We don't want to watch this. And just all at once, in this random moment as the movie started, six people just all booed, and one person left to go get it changed. And we still had to watch like 10 more minutes because it took them so long to stop it.
Love it.
Yeah, kind of a bummer, but I think we got like a free pass to go watch something at the Megaplex because of the confusion, so that was good. But the Meg 2, I'm in.
Cool, let me know how it is.
Yeah, we sure will. Okay. Anything that y'all watched this week, anything that you guys enjoyed that you'd like to talk about that you watched this week? I'm just loving Succession.
Dude, yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Go nut nut.
I watched the first season of Succession, and then I got distracted with something. I think I started watching Barry and got really hooked into Barry.
Mm.
And then I heard that season 4 and like the wrap up of Succession is so good that I started watching it again. And the favorite thing that I watched was the episode where Tom grills the parody Tucker Carlson on if he's a Nazi or not. And then later on in the episode, he starts throwing water bottles at Greg in the safe room. Like, that was the best.
The disgusting brothers.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll get there.
And Greg is like Tom gets excited when Greg blackmails him. Hilarious. Which is great. Tom's the best.
What's the
best
thing
character in the show?
You can't make a tomlet without cracking a few Gregs.
I gotta go get some Greglets from the Greg pen, from the pig pen. I'm a person, Tom. That show. Oh, I seriously like this. Spencer, how far? Oh, you haven't watched in a while,
I've
right?
I've seen 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm. There's so many like. I didn't really realize it till recently, and I guess I should have the whole time, and that it's just business buzzwords, the TV show.
Oh, yeah, dude. Take a shot every time they say synergies.
it's absolutely, yeah, I just, and one of the... Okay, all in all, go watch Succession. Go nut nut. Go watch Succession. Spencer, do you got anything to plug? I feel like you got something to plug.
Yeah. Favorite thing I've been watching is Star Wars Visions. Nobody watches it. Like, I've asked all my students that love anime and love Star Wars. They're like, what's that? It's like, why is no one watching this stuff? It's so good. The new season has like an Aardman one, the Wallace and Gromit guys. They got a Cartoon Saloon short, which like blew my mind. It's really good. So some of them aren't as great, but they're all different and interesting and people should watch them. It's like, they're so much more interesting to me than the other shows right now.
How soon until I actually just got a Disney Plus login, so I'll be watching shortly. How soon until we get a Star Wars anime movie?
It's called The Clone Wars.
It's called what?
Clone Wars, the original Clone Wars.
Oh, the Genndy Tarkovsky one?
Yeah, the one everybody hates.
Oh, no. The Tarkovsky stuff is awesome. And they released like... The Clone Wars show that had all those seasons, there was like a movie that's like 4 episodes awkwardly put together. Yeah.
Oh, the one that like started with the CG one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm talking. Oh, sorry. Specifically of anime.
Oh, I don't see it. They're so risk averse right now. Like,
yeah, they don't
try anything. It's really depressing, actually.
Yeah. The one big risk that they took and that they banked on, they totally floundered on it. And now we'll get never get anything interesting Star Wars ever again.
Basically.
Yeah. What a bummer. What a big bummer. Yeah. Speaking of interesting, though, you know what was very interesting? It's the movie we're talking about today. Bo is Afraid. Ari Aster, written and directed, starring Joaquin Phoenix. Tells the story of there's a word for it. This guy's afraid of everything. And he's got to go, make it to his neurotic. Mom's birthday. Huh?
Neurotic?
I guess you could say neurotic. That's a good word for it. Must go on a trek to go to his mom's birthday. And when something occurs that changes his trip and her trip as well and her birthday, he still must hurry up to make it to her home. Bo is Afraid. I'm going to be really honest. Kind of, weirdly enough, I think is Ari Aster's, like, for the most part, his most accessible movie, just because I don't think most people like horror. I don't know. I guess that brings us into a good point then. You say wrong. Why wrong?
I think Hereditary is a pretty straightforward horror movie.
Yeah.
But this movie's like long and weird. And whenever you ask anybody what it is, they're just like, oh, it made me anxious. Like, that's all they can say. Like, your plot summary doesn't really explain anything. Like, if whatever you just imagine from that plot summary is not what the movie is.
But it weirdly is. It's he's trying to make it to his mom's funeral, basically, which it initially starts as her birthday and then it ends up being her funeral. Yeah. But that's a good point. Like, me just saying that in any plot description you read is not going to make the movie make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go watch. It's just this nightmare induced like trouble, obstacle after obstacle that he has to overcome. That is really like best movie of the year stuff for the first 45 minutes. And then it's really up and down after that.
Mostly down.
Yeah. That first scene when he's like in his apartment, or the first hour when he's like in his apartment and seeing the world that he's surrounded by, super interesting, really funny. So many, I think you called them perv Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so funny. All the stuff that, like, the graffiti was hilarious. The stuff you could find in the background was, like, all the details. So
the good. Salsa dancer just dancing by himself.
Yep.
Unfortunately, though, all the graffiti is foreshadowing for the end of the movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he meets his father.
His dad.
Whoa. I did not notice that.
I mean, I don't know if it really was. Either way, they're both just gross. That's like all there is to say about it. So
yeah.
I will say I love the opening, because it's kind of an episodic movie, so like the opening episode or whatever, the chapter, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think what I loved about it is as a very anxious person who assumes the worst, it's the funniest portrayal of just like, well, everything is the worst. And like, he's a guy where what's the worst thing that could happen? He's like, that's what's going to happen. And then it just does. It keeps happening. It's so funny to watch. Like, I was dying when that chapter ends and it like goes to black and then it like transitions to the new episode. I was like gasping. I was laughing so hard during the transition. I like could not stop, and it was just like a silent theater, and I was just like rolling, and I thought I was like in love, and then that disappeared pretty quick after that.
Tim, what would you say?
Yeah, it kind of goes off the rails when you meet Holly from The Office. I don't know her name. The actress.
Amy Ryan. Amy yeah. Ryan and Nathan Lane, once they get in there.
Yeah, Nathan Lane. Yeah, it kind of like, I don't know, there were parts of it still, like in the rest of the movie, that I did like. Like, I thought it drug on for a long time, but like the partially animated, like storytelling section, that was like really cool, really interesting. A little long, but I was like interested. Like, there were the first 45 minutes kept me like engaged and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the movie, I was just in and out with my interest level. And by the end, it was like, let this movie end. I'm ready for this movie to be over.
That second act is really up and down for me. I found that a lot of the stuff at like the house, I was kind of like, oh my gosh. And then the daughter would come back and I'm like, oh hell, like the best part of it. Like, this is the best part. Like the yeah. daughter there just like torturing him. Yeah. They go on the drive. She's like, I'm taking you to your mom's house. And he's like, okay. And they get in and she like makes him smoke a joint. He's like, I don't want to do it. She just slams on the brakes like, you're going to do it in front of me. You know, it's this 16-year-old girl who's yeah. screaming at him. Like, I like that stuff. Nathan Lane and Amy Ryan's characters, I wasn't super interested in. The stuff with their son was interesting, you know, like how much Beau's mom has permeated his, not only his life, but like other people as well. And whether that's the case or not, the whole movie is following his, I guess, familial trauma of what he perceives the world to be because of his mother.
Yeah.
And I'm sure more than that. A lot of it, I'm like, oh, I could probably guess what that was. I could not tell you what the animated sequence was was talking about.
Yeah.
I kind of take it as it's like cool. This. Huh?
It looked cool.
Yeah, it did. Animate. I kind of take it as like a, what would the life have been for him without his mom? Like, assume she wasn't in the picture. He goes on. He has a family. His life still sucks, but at least it's some semblance of interesting and maybe fulfilling, if that's the word for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I go see a lot of movies that I would consider, like, weird going into them without my wife. So, like, I went and saw Everything Everywhere All at Once without her, and I came back, and I was, like, all excited, and I explained to her, like, parts about it. And I was like really excited. And this time I was like, that's the weirdest movie I've ever seen. And she was like, what's weird about it? And I told her what was weird about it. And she was like, what does that even mean? And I just said, exactly. And we went to bed.
Now, are we getting to spoilers? Is this what we want to talk about? The weirdest part about it?
We can't even spoil it. We could say what happens and someone would go see it and still be shocked. Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's why I don't
mind. We can tell you exactly what it is. And it's like, you still don't see it coming.
It's not really a narrative. It's more of like a, it's just a bad trip, right?
Yeah.
You can't shock spoil factor. A bad trip.
The yeah. recurring moment that keeps happening that kind of brings back his trauma is this attic, which I don't know what Ari Aster's thing is with attics or weird rooms, but he goes up there and it's finally revealed that it's just a massive penis monster with claws, and it digs a claw into the assassin that's been chasing Beau since the house, because the daughter dies in the house. And that's all you see of it. And it's supposed to be his dad, whether that is or whatever, it's his perception of his dad being. But truly one of the most insane movie
twin
moments.
Twin brothers up there.
Hmm?
Don't forget brothers there. And also the like PTSD guy who's been chasing him for like half the movie shows up and like stabs it in the scrotum a few times before it rips his head off. Or
yep.
Yeah.
Something like that. I wasn't watching super closely at that point. Not sure why.
Yeah, weird. No idea why.
Yeah.
Not.
I will say, though, it is a masterpiece of background sound design and background visuals, like they're to also on the anxiety thing, like even after the beginning, there's just so much always going on behind Bo and around Bo, and it feels very calculated and is very funny a lot of the time.
Yeah,
I was very impressed by that aspect of it. Although by the time he gets to his mom's house, it's like not there anymore, and then I'm much less interested.
Yeah, Ari Aster's really good at filling the frame and with really good framing and depth and composition, and it kind of like slowly goes away in it, and I was like really kind of surprised.
I will say my favorite part of the third act was just like looking around and randomly seeing his therapist smiling in the corner of a scene. Like the whole third act, I was just looking for his therapist.
Kind of the payoff to one of the what's the worst that could happen ideas.
Yeah. But it's like a slow burn recording everything I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best like thing is when, sorry, I have to go back to the beginning because it's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to spoil like the
absolute. It's all of our favorite. Trip. It's great.
So the part when he gets this medicine from his therapist, but right when he gets it, the water shut off in his apartment, and he takes a pill and then realizes he can't get water. So he sits down to Google the side effects of the pill without water, and it immediately went to like newspaper articles and obituaries about people that died because they didn't drink water with the pill. Like, oh, this is it. This is the movie we're watching.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to why he didn't just keep everything in that apartment.
Well, it's like an Odyssey story.
Sure, it's sure.
Like, right? So like you have to go to different locations for that. I did a little bit of reading about like the literature that Ari Aster like clearly was inspired by and then just decided to stick naked people in, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He likes doing that.
Yeah.
Balls.
It's an A-minus sour for me. As much as I talk about it, I do think that it has enough interest and merit to it. A lot of people are complaining. It's like, he's so irresponsible with $100 million, and it's like, or $40 million or whatever. It's like, no, that's what I want. I would much rather have, like, $40 million weird passion project than $40 million whatever else you can get. Let's go back to it. Let's go back to filmmakers being irresponsible with money to make crazy passion projects.
Yeah, I'm glad it exists. I'm glad it represents an important part of film that doesn't, it's rare nowadays. And so like, I'm glad it's out there. I wish I liked it more simply because it's everything that I say I want movies to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mostly.
It's like when everyone complained that it's like, oh, there's not enough movies that are like original or interesting and women led and all this stuff. And it's like, well, did you go see Annihilation? Because that's all of those things. And they're like, no, never saw it. It's like, come on, if you're going to complain about not being new movies, original movies, you got to branch out a little bit. They come out every week. They come out all the time.
Okay, Keeks, I got to say something to you.
What?
On this line of thinking here.
Yes.
So I'm aware that a movie came out recently called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And that UNTC recorded an episode last week. I haven't listened to it. I don't listen to a lot of the stuff when I haven't seen the movie.
Yes.
But you said I was about to leave and they pulled me back in. Keek, please don't do that. Marvel did not pull you back in. James Gunn is like the one guy who's like, that's my movie. That's not Marvel's movie. That's my movie. Now he doesn't work there anymore. Whatever the next movie is going to be Ant-Man Quantumania Part 2. It's not going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Can I go on a little rant about James Gunn for a second?
Heck yeah.
Oh,
I think I went on a rant in our text thread. But there was some interview that he did. I think it was for like IGN or something, which like, who trusts IGN for movie news? But he claims that he wrote the scene explaining the Infinity Stones in an hour and a half, and that he didn't know that Marvel was going to use Infinity Stones to branch out the entire MCU. And he thinks it's funny that an hour and a half of his writing became the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I call BS like to the moon and back. Are you kidding me?
It's like a put his face over the LeBron tweets where he, all you know, the LeBron memes, yeah, that he calls all the things before they happen. Yeah, he knew.
Yeah. Le Cap, dude. Like, yeah, there's no way he didn't know. And also claiming that he wrote the source material for the Infinity Stones. You got like 40 years of comic books, like explaining the Infinity Stones. Get out of here with that crap, dude.
I love how we just slowly devolved back into Marvel talk from this.
This is my fault. Why? I did it. Sorry.
But you know, I
James Gunn, with interesting like, guy. I'm calling BS though.
It probably is. I you know, and it's with him leaving. You need interesting directors. We need interesting people making these movies. Like we can't keep getting Peyton Reed making more Marvel movies.
But that's the problem. They are getting interesting people. Like what's her name? The Eternals director.
Chloe Zhao. Yeah, oh, they didn't let her direct anything, yeah, though. That's
Chloe
the thing.
Zhao, and they got like they get interesting directors.
But Edgar Wright. And they didn't like, yeah, what he was doing. They wouldn't let him cook.
No.
Let them cook.
Yeah.
Just
anyway, yeah, sorry.
And Ant-Man 1 script is great because half of it was written by Edgar Wright and the other two Ant-Man movies are trash. Like, what does, yeah, that tell you?
So Spencer, do you have a grade? Anything like that for Bo is Afraid? Oh, that rhymed.
like maybe like a C+.
Okay.
And it's absolutely spoiled.
Oh, like, nice.
Okay. It's a movie that smells bad.
It kind of does when you're watching, and it kind of does. Tim, yeah, what kind of a grade or a score would you give it?
Yeah, I'd give it like a B-. I don't know if I'd say spoiled because like one of my wife's cousins is like a huge movie nerd and he loved that movie. Like if I knew someone was a huge movie nerd, I would ask them if they've seen Bo is Afraid. So for that reason, I'm calling it sour.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Okay. Do you have like a grade for it, like a score or a star count?
Yeah, like a B-. I think I gave it 2.5 stars on Letterboxd, but that's just because I personally didn't. I think I gave it 3, and then the next morning I was like, no, 2.5.
Yeah, that's probably right where you'd want to put it, between a C+, B-. It's definitely sour, but like, if you are interested in film and interesting filmmakers doing interesting things, it's something that I think is worth your time to be like, oh yeah, I saw it and I hated it. Because at least you, yeah, can say that you saw it and you hated it and not be like every other person that's like, oh, I heard it was terrible. It's like, great, go watch it for yourself. Go see if it's, yeah, terrible. Which, speaking of, yeah, I'm going to go watch the new Robert Rodriguez movie this weekend. I'm very excited because it looks awful with Ben Affleck. Not even seen a trailer. I go to the movies all the time. Have not seen a trailer for this movie.
I was gonna go see Blackberry, but we're doing this tonight.
Oh, I'm gonna go see Blackberry. Okay. So here's what we've got now.
Also, wait. Yes. Shout out Air on Prime Video, streaming now.
If second best movie
Air,
of the year.
Air.
Yeah. Yeah. One movie that we wanted to talk about, that we want to be able to review, we won't be able to have time, but me and TC might touch on it maybe next week, is How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which I firmly believe is the best movie of the year. I loved it. It is an A+ suite for me. Anyone can go into this. It's a heist movie. It's got something to say. Very interesting, diverse group of characters. No matter what line you are on the climate disaster spectrum, it has something to appeal to everyone. So please go find a way. I think How to Blow Up a Pipeline is on VOD right now. Go watch it. Go find a way to rent it. Anything like that. It is so worth your time. It's based on a book written like 2020, something like that. And again, very, very worth your time. I wish we had more time to review it. Maybe me and TC will try to find like a recap video where we can talk about it, but it's excellent. I think y'all will really, really like it if you go see it. So this is something that we wanted to do. Okay. We had a question from Barbarica. She's one of our, you know, one of the suites, one of our favorites, one of the OGs. And their question was the following, okay? And so I wanted to do this with Spencer and with Tim because I think it's really fun. If you could only see one movie in theaters this year, what would it be? So we are going to draft five movies each that if we could just see them for the rest of the year and just these five movies, what would it be? And I have volunteered to go first, apparently. I have been volunteered to go first. And I've got to do it. It is Killers of the Flower Moon. That's my first pick. We have to, and nice. The reason is we've technically seen Dune Part 2 in David Lynch's Dune. It wasn't very good, but we have at least gotten it. Killers of the Flower Moon, we've been talking about this movie. We've seen that same stupid still of this movie for 4 or 5 years, however long it's been. It's Martin Scorsese, the greatest living American director of our generation. Not our generation, but living right now. And yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's my first pick. Tim, you go next. Let's have you go next.
Dang, that's a good pick. That was under my... I didn't even have that on my radar. I totally forgot about it. So I'm still stuck having to pick between two movies. I'm going to go with... I know you just said not this, but I'm going to go with Dune Part 2 because I haven't seen the original Dune, nor have I read the book. And I liked Dune Part 1 so much that I am pumped for Dune Part 2.
Okay. That's a good pick. That is a good pick.
Good pick.
Spencer, what is it? You get two. We're going to do snake draft.
Spider-Verse first.
Yeah.
See, I didn't pick Spider-Verse because it comes out so soon. I know that that's not really the case. I know that that's not how you're supposed to do it, but I don't know. That was my reasoning for not picking that one first. Then what's your next one?
The Marvels, obviously. No, let me think about this. I was looking at a list. Like, if we're talking in the theater, movies I gotta see in the theater.
You're seeing it tomorrow. You're seeing it the next 5 days. You get to watch each one of these movies. That's all you get to watch.
Mission Impossible.
Dang it! Gosh!
I didn't think he'd take that. I was ready to take that.
I didn't think
you'd
take it.
That's kind of why I took it, because I knew we were probably all thinking it. So
yeah.
Okay, Tim, what's your next one?
Oppenheimer.
Okay. I'm actually not I'm not too bummed about that. That was on my list, but okay, I get the next two, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, I gotta go through my list real quick. Ooh. Okay, I gotta go Barbie.
Yeah.
In Indiana Jones 5. Okay, Spencer, what's your next one?
It's me again.
Tim.
Oh, yeah, Tim, that's my bad. Yeah, that's my bad.
I'm gonna go with... I don't know. I'll go with The Flash.
Oh, okay. That's actually...
I wasn't excited to see it, but the trailer that they put out around Super Bowl got me hyped.
Okay, that's a good pick. I like that pick. Spencer, maybe we keep going with these, but you get two more.
So I wasn't saying this one because I felt like it would be available. Asteroid City is probably actually my number one. I just knew it would not fall off the draft board.
I almost took that just now, but
yeah, like I know Kamiko's finally accepted that he's not a Wessie,
not a West guy.
No, yeah. Not a big West guy.
Coming
from a guy that just bought a Rushmore hat and a Wes Anderson shirt to be a poser, but yeah, not a big Wes Anderson guy. and after that does so much cool stuff that I buy like something from his bootleg drops like every time. So had to keep supporting it. Shouts out.
So I picked three now, right? So I have two left. I pick one now and then I'll have one at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know it's like iffy, But I've become quite the Michael Mann fan recently. And I'm like dying to see a Michael Mann movie in theaters. So Ferrari's going to be up there for me.
Nice. That's a good pick, especially because I wouldn't be surprised if that movie ends up coming out next year. So calling that, it's like, okay, it's done. You get to go see it. It's a good pick. It's a good pick. Tim, what do you pick?
This might be controversial, but I'm really curious what they're going to do with it. I'm going to pull Haunted Mansion.
Oh, okay.
I knew Spencer wouldn't like that. I think it could be something. Guillermo del Toro was involved, and he was the one who originally wanted to make a Haunted Mansion movie. So that gives you
like, but like, what kind of involved? Like, producer, or like artistically
producer, and he wrote part of the script, I believe. I think he mostly did storyboard. I don't think he like wrote details in the script, but I think it's his plot. And it's the plot that he wanted to do 25 years ago when they butchered it with Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
So, and it has Lakeith Stanfield. So,
yeah, he's great.
Yep.
Okay. Longer text to the script. So he was originally in like 2013 was going to do it. And then it went into development hell, like most things do. And now it's being directed by Justin Simien, who did his first feature was Dear White People. Bad Hair. Ah, that one looked really interesting. I didn't ever see it, but that one looked interesting. And okay. That's it. Interested to see. It does look pretty good, though.
I saw a tweet from Guillermo del Toro like 2 or 3 years ago where he just took a picture of the Haunted Mansion and he posted
I could see him still being involved creatatively. Him giving some bits of input.
Yeah. He's still like somewhat connected to it.
Okay. Okay. So I got to this point and I gotta take this one. David Fincher's The Killer.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender. If we need Michael Fassbender back, we need him in good things, and a David Fincher movie called The Killer. Yeah, I can't imagine like a better return to form for Michael Fassbender. And for my last pick, and who knows, maybe we'll do a few other ones. This one is so intriguing to me, and that is Wonka.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Yep. Timothy Chalamet. Hugh Grant apparently is it. The director behind the Paddington movies is making it. And it's supposed to be a musical. Comes out Christmas time.
I hate everything about it, but Paul King, like, I got to give it a shot.
Yeah, I know.
So,
those are my last two, is The Killer and Wonka. Tim, what do you got?
Since Spencer got Spider-Verse, I'll go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. I like that one a lot. That's a really good one. And then Spencer, what is your last pick?
They're all taken. Give me a second.
There's one left that I think would be really interesting. And I actually like, if you want to pick two and we'll go back around and I'll end up on one.
Sorry, just give me 1 second. I'll find one.
Oh yeah, you'll find it.
Up until like a week ago, I would have said Fast X, but I'm not ever going to get there. That series is exhausting.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it's a 3-part finale now.
We'll see with how this one performs. I'm not hearing great things.
Are you kidding me? It's going to perform. They all do for some reason.
It's a good point. It's like the Transformers movies. They all made $1 billion. That last one's awful. Okay, Spencer, what are you thinking?
You can have Transformers, Spencer.
Dude, I am struggling. I'm gonna go. I saw like one preview for it, and it might be terrible, but it's called the. I think it's the Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh yeah, like the first part of Dracula.
Yeah, it's like part of Dracula, but it's just on the boat when he's going from Transylvania to the other place. I don't know. I saw a trailer. I was like, hey, that could be okay. I'm like out of movies I'm super excited for, so that one's just like a curiosity for me.
Okay. I have a few more that I want to throw out here for y'all so that you know, you can throw it into your lists. How Do You Live, the new Ghibli movie. That was my next pick.
I forgot about that. That's my pick. That's my last pick.
That you want that one to be your last pick? Okay. Okay. How Do You Live? That's you've got two. Your last two picks are, I don't even know if they're coming out this year, and you get to watch them.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next one. Another one is Next Goal Wins, which my hype for that one's died down a little bit. Maxine was slated to come out this year. I should have picked that one because I love those movies. I'm dying to see Aquaman 2. I got to see what kind of a turd they dump out with that one.
Yeah. One other one too. IMDb currently has Expendables 4.
Oh.
Coming out. I've watched two of them, and they are everything you would expect and less.
I loved those when they came out.
They're so garbage. I was watching the first one, and I saw that I'm blanking on his name, the director of the John Wick movies.
Oh, Stahelski.
Stahelski. And there's no way he wasn't making those, and he's like, I could do so much better. Like, I just like to pretend he made the Expendables and was like, why are action movies like this? Let's go make good ones.
I do love imagining that, especially because he's been involved in the Matrix movies, which are some of the greatest ones of all time. So he got to see it done really well and not really well at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah. Let's see it.
My wife, who is usually never excited about movies, is really excited for The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Longest title.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm not curious. Like,
she read the book. She was excited. Rachel Ziegler's great. Like,
true.
Could be good.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to go see it, but I'm really curious in Transformers. Why a Transformer who's already a gorilla would ever transform out of being a gorilla to being like a upright person? That's the question I have from that trailer. I just don't understand it. He's like a gorilla and he's like hunched and big and strong and he transforms to just be tall and skinny. It's like, stay as the gorilla.
The gorilla's cool. I actually kind of love that reasoning to see that one.
I got one I just remembered too.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Well, it's like 50-50, but Elementals, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The Elemental, the new Pixar one?
Yeah, so here's the thing. It doesn't look good. Like,
no.
Trailer's bad. But Pixar has kind of been in a pattern recently where they're like, they still churn out some bangers like Turning Red. But then there's always kind of like a stinker in between. So like Lightyear was kind of a stinker, at least for Pixar.
That
right?
Summer stinker, they got to release one.
Yeah, so if that pattern holds, like Elemental could be like a good Pixar. Or it's as bad as the trailers look. But I don't know.
The animation looks terrible.
Yeah, it's not particularly like impressive.
Or did you see a trailer for that movie Wish? The animation for that new Disney movie that comes out later this year, Wish, looks awful.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like appalled by it. I'm really interested. Okay. Well, there you go. There's our draft. Five movies each that we'd want to see, plus some extras that we'd really want to see as well. We're getting down to it. We're getting down to, you know, summer movie season's gonna start kicking up. Thank you for coming on for Fun Movie Club. Next take, I believe, is Fast and the Furious with me and TC. I can't believe that comes out next week. Or is it next week or is it the week after?
I think it's the week after, because I've been keeping track because I was like gonna try and catch up, but I actually, all our friends that we're gonna be with, we're going to a wedding next weekend.
Yeah.
I was like, we should all go to a movie, and the two options were Fast X or Little Mermaid. So that plan died real fast.
It's a Fast X comes out, and also that new White Men Can't Jump Hulu movie.
Jack Harlow.
I just saw a movie reviewer that I respect quite a bit talk about it. Oh my gosh. And we got the new, The Master Gardener, the new Paul Schrader movie, which I've heard is just absolutely insane.
I am out on Paul Schrader movies.
I will throw that on my list. I have to see this movie. I have heard it's insane. So we'll see if it is. I'm very excited. Anything else before we go?
Nope.
Oh, hey, I gotta say, I did my students. I asked them all what their favorite movies are.
Oh yeah.
I just
want
to tell you the top vote getters were.
Okay.
Let me just pull up my list and then I'll shut up. Okay.
No, we love it. We want to hear it.
Yep. What are the 13-year-olds in Utah County like?
Okay, so we got tied for fifth was kind of a long list. Shrek, which I still don't know if a lot of kids have seen it. I think they just like the memes.
It's a meme, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
10 Things I Hate About You. Love that has
such
Megamind.
My students love those.
Like, yeah, Megamind is sort of like a newer type of Shrek thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Princess Bride, which is timeless. The Amazing Spider-Man, because apparently you gotta love Andrew Garfield. That's like the thing. I don't even think they like the movie. They just say he's the best Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back and The Dark Knight, obvious choices. And then fourth place, Top Gun Maverick and Spider-Man No Way Home. Really, any Spider-Man movie is a good bet with them.
Okay.
Third place, Dungeons and Dragons. Some of that recency bias, but it's good. Yeah. And then Avengers Endgame, not surprising. And then, but one and two were neither of them I would have predicted. So number two was Tangled, which I did not expect. Because I thought, like, I know it came out when I was like in high school and everybody liked it, but I didn't know they still liked it. And then number one is
these kids were like five when that came out, right?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Number one is The Sandlot, which is great.
What?
Fun movie. I know. I wouldn't have guessed it. I think part of it, though, is every kid gets to seventh grade, they do Utah history, and they find out that The Sandlot was filmed in Salt Lake. And then every single one of them is like, oh my gosh. And so then they love it even more.
Oh.
And I teach eighth grade, so that's still like a fairly recent thing that they learned.
Yeah, okay. So
that would be my guess why it won. Not that I'm saying it shouldn't have, like it's a pretty perfect movie for a middle schooler anyway. But
sure,
you should let them know that like 70% of Disney Channel original movies were filmed in Utah too.
And Hereditary.
And Hereditary. So, yeah. I was to add, if it helps you feel a little bit better. By the time we got to like everyone's favorite movie for Baby Driver was tied for number one amongst my students for their favorite movies.
Let's go.
Baby Driver, Cars, and Top Gun Maverick, along with Nightmare Before Christmas. That was a really popular one as well.
Baby Driver, Cars, Top Gun Maverick. One of these things is not like others. Kids freaking love Cars.
Little bit of variety there. Scott Pilgrim versus the World was in second, tied for second amongst a bunch of others.
Wow, you got some Edgar Wright fans down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Once they got to, like, Edgar Wright is a nice intro to, like, filmmaker. You know what I mean? It's like his movies are like, oh, like, have you seen an Edgar Wright movie? You know?
He's like a funny Christopher Nolan where, like,
right, everybody likes him.
Yeah. Exposing you to some new stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we hope that we were able to expose y'all to some new stuff. Bo is Afraid, really weird. It's been out for like a month now, but we wanted to talk about it and how to blow up a pipeline. Go watch it. Go spend your time watching it. Tune in next week where we talk about Fast X to see if it's terrible or not. And as always, stay so sweet. Sweet.